Retail Antagonists. We'll be back next week with more investigations and analysis. So until next time, this is Chris Williamson saying bye for now.
In the limelight.
The UK media decry draconian fees for Conservative Party conference coverage. Registering for the event this autumn will cost journalists £137 until July 1st and £880 afterwards. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to RT, the decision by the ruling Conservative Party to charge journalists attending its annual conference is undemocratic and should be abandoned, a coalition of British media organizations have said. A number of media outlets say the fees are draconian and have refused to sign up for the Tory event, which will take place in Manchester in October, the Evening Standard reported recently. The Conservative Party had already charged journalists to cover the conference last year, saying it was necessary to prevent people from signing up for accreditation and not attending. The party is sticking to the same rules this year. Journalists will have to pay £137 until July 1st and £880 afterwards to register. A coalition of industry bodies, which includes groups as the News Media Association, Society of Editors, News Media Coalition, and Foreign Press Association, warns that the party of Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is setting a deeply concerning precedent in a democratic society. The coalition said that its members are united in viewing as undemocratic and detrimental to the interests of society. And the party itself, the decision by the Tories to charge journalists to attend the conference. The statement read, "In a democratic society, all party conferences are of considerable political and public importance, and as such, there should be no charging barrier for journalists to be able to act as the eyes and ears of the public by freely reporting at such events." The annual Tory conference is more than just a local event. It also provides a window for the global community to see UK democracy in action, it added. The authors of the statement say they have been trying to reach out to the ruling party to discuss the issue of fees for more than a year now without results. Conservative Party spokesman told the Evening Standard that the modest charge was introduced to discourage over accreditation by some media outlets. He claimed that in previous years, thousands of accredited journalists failed to show up, which cost the party tens of thousands of pounds for police security checks and created a lot of paper and plastic waste. There are also exemptions for media outlets in complicated financial situations, he added. Meanwhile, RT reported Britain's Conservative Party lost more than 1,000 council seats in local elections recently, with the Labour Party and Liberal Democrats dividing the spoils. With 229 of the 230 councils reporting, Sunak's party had secured 2,299 of just over 8,000 seats, losing 1,058. The Labour Party took 2,674, a gain of 536, while the Liberal Democrats took 1,626, a gain of 405. Independent councillors secured 874 seats, a loss of 80, while the Greens took 481, doubling their presence on local authorities. According to reports, the Conservative Party has lost control of more than 40 councils, including Medway in southeast England, which it has run since late 1990s. Labour leader Keir Starmer celebrated his party's success in Medway, telling supporters that "we are on course for a Labour majority at the next general election." In the UK, local elections are often viewed as referendums on the party in power. The Tories have been in power since 2010, although the last year of Conservative rule has been a tumultuous one. Boris Johnson resigned as Prime Minister in disgrace amid the Partygate scandal last summer, only to be replaced by Liz Truss, who managed in her 6 weeks in office to crush the value of the British pound with a budget that included billions of pounds worth of tax cuts. Sunak, a former banker, was touted by the party as a steady hand who could restore economic stability. However, food and energy costs have continued to rise under his leadership, and the UK is said to have the worst performing large economy in the world this year, according to figures from the International Monetary Fund. However, local elections are also decided on local issues such as parking fees and garbage collection. The Conservatives have lost 1,330 seats in 2019 local elections before winning a landslide majority in a general election less than 6 months later. Speaking to reporters recently, Sunak called the results disappointing, but said that he was not detecting any massive groundswell of movement toward the Labour Party or excitement for their agenda.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I'm Atan, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, Brother Ali Alevian and Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, two Islamic scholars from the Islamic House of Qom. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome, brother. And Brother Ali, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting me here.
So on different and various occasions, leader of Iran, Ayatollah Khamenei, tackled the issue of the conditions of today's world. And in fact, when we are talking about today's world, we are talking about every corner of this world. And we know that this hegemony that is controlling the world in today's world, especially from the part of the superpowers in the Western countries, is now getting into the Eastern part of the world. Their behaviors, the etiquettes of conducts and everything, the politics, economics, economic system and everything is getting over here in the Eastern world and in the Muslim lands too. That's why the Supreme Leader of Iran, I think, has a kind of we can say warning and caution for the Muslim generation and the young generation taking care of the hegemonic powers in the world. That's all right. Unfortunately, this system, Brother Ali, these organizations and all these, you know, human, so-called human right, you know, organizations are getting the world into more materialism, I think, rather than, we can say, spirituality or spiritualism. And this is what we fear, you know. Unfortunately, we could see nowadays some of these materialistic, mundane look at the world in the Muslim lands. Mm. The countries that were supposed to be the flag bearer of justice, of spirituality and of peace all around the world now are exactly copying and imitating the lifestyle of the Western world. You know, you could see it in the Muslim lands today too, isn't it?
Definitely. Before diving into your question, I'd like to refer to some of the points that were discussed by you and dear Sayyid. Mm-hmm. One that you said, that is it possible to occupy a land or country in today's world? And Sayyid rightly replied that no. But I want to say, as I explained in the beginning, the format of this occupation has changed.
I know.
So they have occupied the whole world with the cultural attack, and they have the kind of war has changed.
Okay.
Now, actually, they are occupying most of the countries without their own knowledge. I mean, the victims' knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one point. And next point, that you said that they do not believe in spirit and soul. We cannot condemn all the Westerners that they have no belief in a spirit and soul. Definitely, as Sayyid rightly said, even the followers of the Abrahamic religions, they do believe. But let's define the definition of this soul and spirit that they believe in. Is it what we believe as وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهَمَ الرُّوحِ?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a sort of, let's say, materialization, if it is a good
actualization.
Word, actualization of the soul of God.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not what they are after, actually. And they believe that they can reach people and they can take people to happiness and reach people to happiness by this materialistic, let's say, attractions. And it is not possible. So we know that happiness cannot actually be obtained by materials only. So we see that the whole path has been taken wrongly. So by materialistic attraction, no one can reach happiness. Happiness and joy and ecstasy comes through your soul, your inside.
That's right.
And it will actually show itself in your face and facial expressions, right?
Okay. Sorry. You know, the question is that sometimes the people from inside the religious domains also criticize the behaviors of their own leaders, I mean the religious countries. They say that the Western world has inclined towards secularism, mm-hmm. and separated religion from politics or authority. So they could be at least successful in answering the materialistic questions and queries of their own people and their needs.
Yeah.
But what about us?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from both sides, we have nothing. I mean, from
it's
the
not like we do not have.
No, no, no. I mean, from the religious aspect, they could not reach that kind of spirituality and peace inside. And from the materialistic aspect, they were not prosperous. So, what is your answer to this question?
Look, I think the person that in an Islamic environment, if it, such a thing has been said, it's quite wrong sentence because we have nothing. We have God. We have Allah.
Brother,
Allah is everything.
This is what happened in the Arab countries,
actually,
isn't it?
Look.
Yeah. Okay. So Said Mohsen, go on.
I think, you know, the main reason is why we have like this much, you know, materialistic thinking. The main reason is if we look at the way of creation, who we are created by.
Mm-hmm.
We are created by God, who is perfect. Yes?
That's
who
right.
Who is unlimited, whose powers are unlimited, who is perfect. When he has created us, he has given us the soul. This soul also have this, you know, these characteristics of getting the perfection.
That's right.
And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, like, I created you so that you can become perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect. Now, this perfection, the incline towards being perfect is in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When someone without having...
This is in our fitra. And fitra
innate,
is different
yes.
from tabia.
Yes, it okay. is tabia. Tabia okay. is this body, nature.
This is this body, okay.
Innate is
okay.
related to the soul. Mm-hmm. Now, this perfection or inclining towards perfection is inside us.
Okay.
When a person without considering the inside, looking at the material, or maybe he gets the power, because he has that inclination towards perfection, he wants to have the perfect power in the world, for example.
Okay.
Similarly, if the person is getting like knowledge in the university, becoming a professor or a scientist, he wants to achieve that perfection in that field. He has that incline towards that. If a person is beautiful, for example, he has a like he's beautiful, he wants the perfection in it. That's why he does not want his face to be, for example, have a pimple. Yeah. Or like getting harmed. Sometimes, you know, you might have seen
or acne is on the face.
Yeah,
that's
you might
right.
have seen like many people like who take care of their like
yeah.
Body. Why?
Their
because
skin.
There is something inside them which is yes. perfection, which asks them like you need to reach to perfection.
Yes.
Now, which perfection? That is the problem. They do not identify like
and which beauty.
Yeah.
Look,
you know, we do not have any.
What
skin.
The brother
okay.
says, he says that, for example, a Muslim say that. Look,
not
Muslim,
only a Muslim. Sorry, oh. I'm talking about
generally.
All the religious people, even the followers of Abrahamic religions. Okay. So they might criticize the religious circles of their own countries
mm-hmm.
that you are not transferring the religion in the true sense of the world. But from the other side, we could see that these secular movements
mm-hmm.
are doing their best in order
so
to have...
So this is the problem, brother.
Okay.
Look, when you're condemning the followers of their religion, or a person, anyone that who is condemning the followers of their religion, he has to know that if they are really the representatives and right agents of their religion
this
or not.
This is my question.
This is the... For example, let's talk about ourselves in Islamic countries.
Okay.
Are the leaders of the Islam world, most of them actually are representing Islam world and Islamic nations?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the problem. They are not representing Islamic world and Islamic nations because their actions, their behavior has nothing to do with Islamic
this
teachings.
Is my, this was my point, brother. I'm saying that the behavior of the West is getting more and more
you know,
infectious.
It has issue because, you know, there are two things generally.
Yes.
Two things. Number one, when someone thinks like materially, when you separate mm-hmm. the religion from the other sciences,
yes.
that is the first problem
okay.
where it occurs. Politics, I don't know, education, I don't know, medical, or all the sciences are within the religion. That's the first thing.
Okay.
The secular system has come and it has separated it.
That's
number
right.
one. Number two, the issue that we have is that in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the islah or salah or wattaqullah,
mm-hmm.
like be God-weary all the time. If the leader, so-called leader of Muslim ummah, like
That's
any
right.
country you take, if they become a leader and they are not pious, if
mm-hmm.
they are not God-weary, if they do
okay.
not have fear of Allah, if their intentions are not divine,
That's right.
then these issues do come.
Okay.
Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, has mentioned it, like, for example, like in one of his speeches when he was talking to the politicians of his country, like
That's right.
The Iranian politicians and
Yes.
those who were like managing the overall things in the country. He said, if your intentions are not divine, if you do not be God-weary,
have the pure intentions,
that's if right. you do not think that you are the servants of these people rather than being the, you know, that's another issue.
Yeah.
Like whatever a politician thinks, like he's the master.
Master servant.
And
that's right.
These who are giving the vote, they are the servants. So if you have this, if you will not have the intention of serving these people, then you cannot take this nation towards perfection.
That's
and you cannot give them the, you know, welfare. On the other side, if in the Western country, those who have material, you can say, intentions, if they are working, we have the welfare states, for example. Like we can take like the example of like England or Holland or I don't know, Canada. These are the
Netherlands.
Holland, Netherlands.
Okay.
So these are the countries who are like very much paying intentions towards the the welfare. On top of that, you can see how much tax do they take from the people, number one. Even that is for the government. That government is taking it from the people and giving back to the people.
Okay.
Materially, obviously, they need to do that. They are doing that by taking it. But obviously, since they're thinking materially on this issue, even if they are giving welfare, for example, in UK, we can see the issue of NHS, like the disaster.
National Health Society.
That's right. So NHS, basically, it has a disaster in previous years. Like it does not have the, you know, the budget. Or it cannot like cope with the things. And now I think in the UK, in some parts, like they're charging like America for people because of this budget issue. So basically, even if they are doing this, they are doing for the sake of themselves. And materially, what they can think of welfare, that's what they're providing.
Okay.
That's but still, the crime is there.
Yeah, the crime is there.
And the crime is increasing day by day.
That's all right.
That's the disaster of material thinking. Why? Because the material world and the material welfare is not training people to become good.
Yes.
Whereas when you have religious or spiritual thing that we are talking, the perfection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us in the Islamic text, it talks about the perfection of human beings.
That's all right.
That you need to do, for example, you need to do infaq, so that you become a good person. And if you're having the, for example, wealth of the orphans, give them back to them, it is good. Because Allah do not likes oppression. So there is a training part in there. Whereas this material welfare, whatever you think, like have, even if they give them the whole like you know land full of gold, still the crime is increasing. They cannot decrease.
Yeah, we could see the rate of overconsumption in today's world. You know, greed for the power and everything, child labor, you know, and racism, you know, these are all the parts of this looking materialistically at the world because they are recruiting the laborers from the other parts of the world, especially the Easterners from China, Cuba, here and there, Mexico, Iran. And they migrate over there. They consider the West as a utopia. When they get there, you know, they're paid lower than their own countries. And this, you know, this power for overconsumptions, overeating, we can say, that's right, over-harvesting the land and everything. They're destroying
the
everything.
The fake need.
The fake need that there is,
Let me add two short points.
We got about 1 minute, brother.
Okay,
less than one minute,
inshallah. Two short points I want to add here. One is when you actually delete and omit spirituality from the life of a person, it's as if you have actually omitted and deleted his breathing from a human and a living person. Look, we said earlier that with materialistic look, we cannot actually give life, happiness, and joy to a human being. On the other hand, those who are claiming to be the domination power and the leading, let's say, hegemonic power of the world, those who are leading these societies and they are claiming to be the leaders of the world, they themselves are not righteous persons. Supposedly that they are going to give people happiness by materialistic world and attractions. But who is going to implement it? Those who are not righteous. Look at their states and their behavior, for example, in Muslim countries, in Iraq, in Yemen, in Afghanistan, in different countries. So it seems that they actually have double standards in their actions and behaviors and whatever is being said. All in all, without a spirituality and looking at a spiritual need of human being, we can reach nowhere.
Okay, thank you very much, Brother Ali Alevian and Said Mohsen Naqvi, for presence in the program Viewpoints. I'm Atta, the host of this program, and thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to Viewpoints on IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. For more information on this program, other programs, visit our website, parstraight.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Call of Islam Radio. You can also refer to our Instagram page under Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you. Fi amanullah.
Food for thought.
Salam, and here is some fresh food for thought to start the day. Imam Reza, peace upon him, narrates that his illustrious ancestor, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, when asked by a person on the rights of the father upon son, said, "He should not call his father by name. He should not walk ahead of him. He should not sit until his father has seated himself. And he should not do such acts as a result of which people abuse his father."
This is IRIB English Radio. Iranian news. Iranian culture. Iranian voice. www.parstoday.com/EN.
Football versus enemies. Part 1.
Throughout history, football has been associated with many memories and meanings for Iranian people. Bitter and sweet meanings whose images have been recorded in our collective memory like important historical events. Not many phenomena can be affected from the surrounding conditions like football and leave an impact on them. Not many phenomena around us have been able to show us to ourselves, just like the most popular sport among Iranians has. Sometimes entire Iranian nation is involved in this sport by playing it, by celebrating it, by crying, or by suffering. Football is a sport that records our historical memories in a plain language that can be understood by everyone. Football gives a power structure the capability to take control of society's excitement and passion. That's why power structures use people's determination to achieve victory to their own advantage. On the one hand, they encourage them to achieve victory, and on the other, they rein in the emotions stemming from it. But people's desire to achieve victory and success grows by the day. We all want to grow, winning, achieving victory, and embracing victory. But there's another side to such victories, failure and loss. In football, failures are heartbreaking, destructive, and catastrophic. They can affect not only the players, teams, and fans, but also nations. We ignore the official history of football. Football can be one of the signs of attachment and collective identity in any land. The contemporary texts do not mention it because they think that football is just a sport. Iranians' first encounter with football dates back to the Qajar era. Muzaffar-ed-Din Shah Qajar, who had traveled to Europe, got bored of watching the game. He said that all players could be given a ball so they wouldn't have to run after one ball and wouldn't get so confused. During those days, Muzaffar-ed-Din Shah Qajar signed a 60-year oil contract with the UK to give them the right to extract and sell oil. All rights were given to D'Arcy. At the same time, football had turned into a new entertainment in Britain with its established rules and a large part of the population interested in it. So when Britons were constructing the establishment to extract oil in Iran, they set the stage for football and brought their new entertainment to Iran. The southern Iranian cities didn't even have the basic facilities for living, let alone facilities to spend your spare time. The living and accommodation standards for the British workers was much better than the Iranian workers. During the worst days of the Iranian workers, the Britons got their own architects to construct the first football stadium in Iran in order to provide their workers with an entertainment with the revenues earned from Iranian oil. The first football match was held between the local workers in Masjid Soleiman and the British workers. The result of the game was already clear for the British side. After Reza Khan came to power as a prime minister, an association named the Association for Promotion and Spreading Football was established in 1921 in Tehran. Following an increase in oil sales to Britain, the government's revenues were also increased so it could pave the ground to display the fake satisfaction of society so that society would feel a little relieved. Reza Khan made a lot of changes in the Iranian people's lifestyles against their wishes and beliefs. He felt the need to introduce entertainment that could distract the people. In 1938, Iran's national team was officially formed and played against Afghanistan on the day that Amjadieh Stadium was established. After the Second World War broke out, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, who was the captain of the Lerroux Schools football team in Switzerland, ascended the throne. Football got special attention because of his personal interests in it. It also led the new government to focus on football. In 1945, the Taj Club was established with the support of the monarchy and was initially named the Bicyclists. Military and political figures were designated as the managers of the club. In that era, according to the FIFA ranking, the Taj Club was the second wealthiest team after Real Madrid. In those years, Real Madrid had become Europe's champions for 5 consecutive years. Real Madrid, too, was a royal team in Spain, and Madrid was the capital of the monarchy. So, Real Madrid and Taj were similar in many ways. The hike in political tensions those years led to the U.S. orchestrated coup on August 15, 1953, which caused a serious rift among people and their beliefs. The army wasn't detached from the conflict. The army personnel loyal to the Shah were promoted and the opponents faced fury. The Shaheen team was formed as Taj's rival in the same city. Shaheen was the only team that could face Taj. It turned into a venue where people could show their indignation. People chanted slogans against the Shah at the Amjadiyah Stadium on the day he went to the stadium to watch the championship games. It made the Shah furious and he left the stadium with a bad memory. It was a precursor to dissolve the Shaheen Club. We could see traces of Parviz Khosravani, then managing director of the club, in the dissolution of the club. General Khosravani was one of Marshal Zahedi's fellow comrades in recapturing the ruling in favor of the Shah during the 1953 coup. After that coup, he wielded a lot of power. A year after Shaheen was dissolved, he was appointed as president of the sports organization. After Shaheen was dissolved, the club's fans didn't follow the matches. When Shaheen collapsed after consultations with Ali Abdu, the owner of the newly established Persepolis club, Shaheen players joined the team. Persepolis was established in 1963. Because of the events, Persepolis represented the people and Taj represented the monarchy. It was the beginning of exciting derbies in Iran that continue to this very day. Football reached its climax in Iran, but it wasn't outstanding on the international level. Iran was full of football talent, but it had never achieved any success up to that time. 1967, Tehran. The Nations Cup in Tehran was the first serious international test for Iran's football. The bout between Iran and Israel in the final match was the most important social and political event in the games because for both people and some politicians, ties between Iran and Israel were tense. As a Muslim nation, Iranians would not accept the aggression by Israel and the Zionist rulers against Palestinians. As the people didn't get a chance to fight against Israel, they viewed the green field in Amjadiyeh as a battlefield.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you for choosing this program to listen to. Today we're going to speak about the blessings of visiting Imam Reza's Hale Shrine. Today Today, Tuesday, is the 10th of Zilqa'dah, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of Khordad, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of May, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At this part, we'll listen to chapter Al-Baqarah, verse 124.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا قَالَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِي الظَّالِمِينَ.
And mention, O Muhammad, when Abraham was tried by his Lord with commands and he fulfilled them. Allah said, "Indeed, I will make you a leader for the people." Abraham said, "And of my descendants?" Allah said, "My covenant does not include the wrongdoers."
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
If you want to speak about the importance of the verse 124 of chapter Baqarah, we reach to this point that the primary sense of meaning of the term imam is that of being foremost, but it is also has other difficult meaning, including, for example, one of them, leadership is the worldly social affairs of people, as the Sunnis believe. The other one, authority over the religious affairs of people in this world, as some others of them have interpreted, I mean the Sunni believers. And number C, responsibility of bringing religious duties into action, whether it is through the establishment of the government in its vast meaning or performing the commandments of Allah, and the execution of the social justice along with the training of souls.
Allahumma salli ala Ali ibn Musa al-Riza al-Murtaza. Al-Imam al-Taqi al-Nabi. وحجتك على من فوق الأرض ومن تحت الثرى يا الصديق الشهيد صلاة كثيرة تامة زاكية متواصلة متواترة مترادفة كأفضل ما صليت على أحد من أوليائك.
Let's come back to our discussion. What blessings does Imam Reza's ziyarah entail? One of the blessings of visiting Imam Reza's shrine is that it brings happiness and vitality for the believers. And anybody who visits His Holiness' shrine will spiritually connect to him and will preserve such a relationship in their souls. When the pilgrims witness the huge population rushing to visit Imam Reza's shrine, they feel a spiritual happiness. This is the secret of pilgrims coming to the city of Mashhad from far and near, some even under tough conditions. While in Mashhad, one feels uniquely pleased, which is also mentioned in narratives. For instance, it is quoted from the Prophet that part of me will be buried in Khorasan. If a woeful person visits his shrine, God Almighty will alleviate his pain, and if a sinner rushes to his ziyarah, Allah will forgive his sins.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about the blessings of Imam Radha alayhi salam and the importance of his graveyard and holy shrine. Sheikh Al-Tusi quoted that Imam Radha alayhi salam said, "There is a tomb in Khurasan, and there will be time when the tomb will be a place for the angels' resort and tawaf that is circling around that place until the resurrection day when the trumpet will be blown." The tomb is located in Tuz, and they asked, "O Prophet son, which tomb is that tomb?" He replied, "I swear, that is a garden of paradise, and anyone who will visit me in that tomb, it will be as if it was the Prophet's shrine, and the reward of 1,000 accepted Hajj and 1,000 accepted Umrah will be counted for him. And my fathers and I will intercede for him on Resurrection Day." These narrations reflect the high significance of the 8th Imam's pilgrimage. One of the blessings of visiting Imam Brother's holy shrine is that it brings happiness and vitality for the believers. And anybody who visits his holy shrine will spiritually connect to him and will preserve such a relationship in their souls. When the pilgrims witness the huge population rushing to visit Imam Radha alayhi salam and Imam Brother's holy shrine, they feel a spiritual happiness. This is the secret of pilgrims coming to Mashhad from far and close, even under tough conditions. While in Mashhad, one feels uniquely pleased, which is also mentioned in narrations. For instance, it is quoted from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that part of me will be buried in Khurasan. If a woeful person visits the shrine, God Almighty will alleviate his pain. And if a sinner rushes to his pilgrimage or ziyarah, Allah will forgive his sins. Allahumma salli ala Ali ibn Musa ar-Ridha al-Murtada
al-Imam al-Taqi al-Naqi. O Allah, send blessings upon Ali ibn Musa ar-Ridha, the contented, the spotlessly pure leader, and your authority on the face of the earth, and below it, the truthful and the martyr, perpetually abundant blessings that are pure and continue ceaselessly, the best of the blessings that you have sent upon any of your chosen ones.
Let's learn about his character, Imam Reza's character. About his knowledge, Imam Reza was the most learned of the people of his time and was the highest authority. Religious scholars and jurists would send to him their questions about Islamic precepts. Ibrahim ibn al-Abbas has said when Imam Reza, was questioned about a certain thing, he answered it, "I have never seen that there is a person more knowledgeable than him." Al-Mamun examined him with questions about all things, and he answered them. Imam Reza alayhi salam was the most eminent Muslim thinker, so he was able to develop the cultural and scientific life of the Muslims. Al-Mamun has said, "I think that there is no person on the face of earth more learned than this man," pointed to Imam Reza. Imam Reza's debates in Khurasan or Basra and Kufa give evidence for his being the most knowledgeable on the face of earth. During those debates, he was questioned about the most difficult problems and he answered them. So all the religious scholars of his time yielded to him and acknowledged his excellence over them. Yeah. About this, how to make the most of ziyarah of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them. One of your answers will be paying attention to the infallible. Yes, know that he is alive. It is as if you are visiting them in person. There is no difference between when they are alive and when they are dead. A hadith says, whoever does our ziyarah after we die is as if he did so when we were alive. Think of it as if you are going to visit them in their home. So nice. Soften your heart. Ponder the greatness of the personality who lies within. Gaze upon the physical greatness and beauty of the shrine within which they lie and know that this is just an incomparable fraction of the greatness which he possesses. Envision that he sees and hears you. This is another thing to make our ziyarah in the best way. Imams, peace be upon them, can hear people, greet them and say salam to them, even if there is many people taking their attention at the same time. And they have manifested the attribute of Allah. No effort distracts him from attending to any other affairs.
Al-Imam Ridha alayhi salam, after the Ma'mun appointed him as the heir, a delegation came to visit Al-Imam Ridha. A delegation of Shias. They came to visit the Imam alayhi salam. The Imam alayhi salam was informed by someone at the door, you know, the one in charge of opening the door, that there is a delegation who wants to meet you, and they say, we are your Shia. The Imam alayhi salam refused to open the door. He says, no, I won't give them permission to see me. This is who? Al-Imam al-Ra'uf. Al-Imam al-Ra'uf. This is Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, who accepts the whole universe, who even had mercy on that deer. But the Imam's teaching us a lesson here. So the Imam didn't allow them to enter. They came the next day, knocking at the door of the Imam. The Imam did not allow them to enter. 60 days, 2 months, every single day they come seeking permission to meet Al-Imam al-Ridha. Al-Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam refuses. They couldn't take it anymore. They started yelling. They said to the person at the door, just go tell Al-Imam al-Ridha that even our enemies are laughing at us. Even our enemies are smiling. They're happy. They're saying, look, look, this Imam doesn't even care about his Shias. Imam al-Ridha heard that. He told them, okay, let them come in. They entered. They greeted Al-Imam al-Ridha. The Imam alayhi salam did not stand up for them. He did not greet them back. They were shocked. They told them, Imam, ma hadha al-jafa. We're shocked. We can't believe our eyes. You are Ridha min al-Muhammad. You're treating us that way? What did we do? You don't treat your enemies like that. You're treating us that way? We're your Shia? The Imam alayhi salam told them, how shameful it is for you to come and call yourselves our Shias when you have these sins, when you have all these shortcomings, when you have not given a good image of Al-Muhammad. How dare you call yourselves Shias? Allah is angry with you for making this false claim. You're our Shias? Do you do everything I tell you? Do you keep away from all ugly acts? They felt ashamed. They said no. The Imam says, how dare you call yourself Shia? Imam al-Husayn is the Shia of Ali. Al-Hasan is the Shia of Ali. Ammar is the Shia of Ali. Salman, Miqdad, they're the Shia of Ali. Are you claiming to be at their status? They told him, Yabna Rasulullah. So what do we say? He said to them, say we are Mualin. We are the lovers of Al-Muhammad. We love Al-Muhammad and we despise their enemies. Yes, that I accept from you. I know you love us. They told him, okay, Imam al-Ridha, we are Muhibbi Ahlul Bayt. We love Al-Muhammad. The minute they changed the label from Shia to being a Muhib of Al-Muhammad, the Imam alayhi salam got up. He hugged them each one by one. He greeted them. He gave them the best service possible. And then he told one of his companions, 60 times they came to my door. The next 60 days, I want you to go and visit them every day and tell them, Al-Imam al-Ridha gives you their salams.
Ali Musa al-Ridha, Ali Musa al-Ridha, Ali Musa al-Ridha, Ali Musa al-Ridha. Ali Musa Reza, Ya Ali Musa Reza.
Inshallah, on the next episode of today's special, we'll learn more about Ziyarah, especially Imam Reza's Ziyarah. Thank you very much, and we'll leave you in Allah's blessings. Fi amanillah.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard, each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word, they could never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.